Hey, oh, hey, how's everybody doing? Doing all right? That was great, wasn't it? Come on, put it, give it up for that right there. I'm telling you, I told Mr. D, this guy here, he's a wild man. This guy right here, you're always living on the wild side right there.
Anthony,
you want to have a good time, you go out with that guy.
Anthony, I'm going to dismiss our kids to children's church. I forgot about that. Come
kiddos,
on, kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the kids do not want to hear me. Trust me. Go and sin no more, children. Go. There, look, he's running. He's like, I ain't here for that old man. I'm out of here. Hey, man, if you love Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
We had a great, great time. We did, Scott. It was amazing. I would encourage you men as well. I know there are situations and circumstances that come up, and you can't always get off. But here's the thing. You're going to have a retreat a year from now.
Right.
I think it's April 23rd.
22nd.
22nd.
To 24th.
So there you go. April 22nd to the 24th. Put in your vacation time now. You'll be happy that you did. And here's the thing, man. The great thing about being a Christ follower is this. We win. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, we win in Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on. And I love the fact that we can get together. We come to church. We believe that if you have to go to church, and you should be in church because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that you might as well enjoy it. Amen. I grew up in a religion that where I learned all the facts about Jesus. I knew what he had done. I didn't know why he did it. And when I was old enough to run away from it, I did. But then I came into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 years ago, there was a season that these two amazing people, your pastors, Pastor Ed and Phyllis, went to a little town, part of Philadelphia, called Aston, Pennsylvania. And if there were no other reason for them to be there, I gave my heart to Christ. My sister gave her heart to Christ. My mother gave her heart to Christ. This man, my father, had just given his heart to Christ watching the old-time gospel hour with Jerry Falwell. And Pastor Walsh showed up at our business one day and invited me to a church function on a Friday night. We had a missionary speaking, gave my heart to Jesus. But 40 years ago October, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was because you two said yes to Jesus for that season in your life. And I love you, and I thank you, and your legacy and the fruit of your ministry goes well beyond what you will ever see between the four walls of this church.
Amen.
But thank you for being obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. Thank you. They're amazing. They're legends, man. They are legends in my mind. And 40 years ago, everything changed. I mean, my dad was a fussing and cussing. He's a Greek. He's an angry Greek. And my mom, she's an Italian. Her and June in the back. June back there, she's birthday June 26. She's rocking 90 years old back here, ladies and gentlemen, in the back. She's making 90 look good. And her and my mom share the same birthday. And, man, everything changed for my family. And I don't even want to think where I would be without the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
And that's why we come to church, to give honor and glory to God. But the Bible does say, give honor to whom honor is due. And so I do honor Pastor Walls and Phyllis today. Also, about 40 years ago, Pastor, we went to, I don't know if you remember this, preacher, we used to go to High Point Camp in Geigertown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And we had a group of teenagers. You were the youth pastor. And he took me to camp. And he looked at me one day, and that little A-frame says, hey, there's a preaching competition, and you're entered into it. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he says, don't worry about it. I'm going to help you put a message together. I'm like, let's do this. And the preacher stood there in that A-frame, and he put together a little sermon on Matthew chapter 28 on the Great Commission. And I want you to know, I am proud to say that day that I came in last place in that preaching competition. You almost crushed me in my preaching career. But anyway, so you know what I'm doing today? I'm coming full circle, baby. Full circle. I'm bringing back honor to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to try it again. And I'm so glad that we get to do church together. I'm honored to be here. I really am. I'm excited to be here. I've been telling my church people, my dream team, that I get to be a part of the man and woman who meant so much to us getting out of the gate for Jesus. And so I'm kind of a little giddy today about that. And I will just say this, man, we had a great men's retreat, a lot of laughs, a lot of learning, a lot of worship. The men of this church, and I know they're a reflection of the overall church, this is a sweet, sweet place. Amen? It really is. And I love faith, family, fellowship, and because family means something in our church. Amen? It really does. We hope you, I don't know anybody in here. Maybe you're here for the first time. Hopefully you come and you make some friends, but you'll leave feeling like family. I'll tell you this church is on fire to see this community come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I already asked you if you were saved and you know what to say, amen. If you're saved and you know what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 42, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So if you want to give God some glory, because you know what the Bible says, we're in his house. This is the house of the Lord. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. If you love Jesus, hey, could I ask you on the count of three just to put your hands together and just celebrate him? Ready? One, two, three. Come on, let's just love on the Lord today. Yes. And because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in each of our lives, you know, we have the opportunity to say, man, we are children of God. I'm a son of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am an adopted child of God. I am in the family. Somebody say amen. And I love that. And with that privilege of salvation, we talked about this on the retreat a little bit. And by the way, I don't think we did much retreating. I think these men went to this retreat, but they're ready to do some advancing. That's what I think. I think this church is never going to be the same because of the last few days that we spent together. But we not only have the privilege of salvation, we have the responsibility of salvation. It's called the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Class, what does the word gospel mean? And here's the great thing that we get. You know, we have the opportunity to go around giving good news to people. And here's the message of the gospel. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Many of you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I love verse 17. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus, through him, might be saved. And all God's kids said? Amen. And here's our message. We get some good news, and it's this. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. That God couldn't spare the thought of spending eternity without you, that he created us in his image, and we know what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Sin came into the picture, hijacked everything, and two things broke in that garden that day. Number one, man's relationship with God broke. It would never be the same. He's made a promise in Genesis 3:15 that we'll do something about this. But the other thing that broke in the garden that day was God's heart. He's like, man, I want this relationship with you. Ephesians tells us that God desires a family. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, he is God himself in the flesh. Amen? And Emmanuel, we learned this at Christmas time, that Emmanuel means that Jesus Christ came here to be with us, but I want you to know he is also for us. He says, no man takes my life from me. You can't take my life from me. Do you know who I am? I'm God. In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? I mean, Jesus Christ is eternal God. And so he's like, no man takes my life from me, but here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Jesus said in another scripture, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And so I don't know what you walked into this room thinking today, but here's what I want you to know. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ came here to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. Religion can't do for you. Baptism doesn't do for you. Jesus came to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself, and that was to exchange his life for your life. God is good. Amen. And so many of you in this room, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. But the gospel is ultimately about us loving God and loving others. Now, we know it's about giving the message of the good news. But man, Jesus, some guys rolled up on Jesus one day and say, hey, what's the greatest thing that we can be doing in our lives? And Jesus said, well, that's simple. Love the Lord your God. You must love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and spirit. And to love your neighbor as yourself. On a count of three, look at the person to your right. Ready? One, two, three. Look at him. Look at him. Awkward stare. All right. On a count of three, look at the person to your left. One, two, three. Come on. Look at him. Look at him. Awkward stare. Look up here. Look up here. If you love the person you're sitting next to, put your hands together for them today. Come on. Come on. Yeah. You have to love them because God said so. All right. And here's the deal. The gospel is about not only loving God, but loving others the way Jesus loved us. And let me just tell you something about how Jesus loves you. God loves you with an unfailing and unconditional love. You didn't have to do anything to merit his love. Listen, when God wasn't on your mind, you were on his mind. Before Jesus was in your heart, you were in his heart. That's why Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come here in response to you reaching out to me. Romans tells us, but God demonstrated his great love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. So before God was even a part of your life, he had a great plan for your life. And I kept telling our men that God wants to save you on purpose for a purpose because he's got a greater purpose for your life. And I believe that. And know this, that Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. I'm telling you. And so the gospel is ultimately about loving God and loving others. But here's the deal. As Christians, those of us that said a few minutes ago, if you're saved, you know it, say amen. And we said, amen. Well, here's the thing that we got to wrestle with. Knowing what we know. Some of you men are still confused about this on men's retreat when we talk about this. Knowing what you know about sin and a savior, about eternity, that there's a literal heaven and there's a literal hell. Listen to me. Here's what the Bible says. And by the way, at Faith Church, we believe the word of God. Amen. Thy word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what the Bible says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. We know the word of God. But here's the deal. Knowing what we know as followers of Christ about sin and a savior, about heaven, about hell, knowing that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that, say amen. Knowing what we know ought to motivate and encourage us to make sure those who don't know what we know. Man, that dude's on Red Bull. What's he talking about? He's highly caffeinated today. Let me say it again. Knowing what we know about the scriptures, about sin, the Savior, heaven, and hell, knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, knowing that the road to heaven is very narrow, very narrow. As a matter of fact, there's only one way. It's as narrow as the name Jesus, because there is no other name given among men whereby a person can be saved. It is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Knowing what we know, that religion isn't the answer. Good works isn't the answer. Your mama being a good Christian wasn't the answer. Your grandma going to church isn't the answer. Knowing what we know ought to encourage and motivate us to make sure those who don't know what we know. And now I want you to wrestle with something else. Knowing what you know, if you were still lost today, I once was lost. Amen. But now I'm found, to God be the glory. I once was blind, but now I see. There wasn't a time I could really sing, Hosanna, Hosanna. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. Knowing what I know now about the Word of God and the God of the Word about salvation, if I were still lost outside of Christ, what would I want my family member, my friend, or the local church in my community to do, knowing what I know now, to get me to the cross? Knowing what I know, that eternity hangs in the balance. I say this at Granted all the time. Life is short. How many of you know life is short? Come on, it just is. Life is short. Here's a real pick-me-upper. It is appointed unto man once to die. There you go. How's that feel today? Aren't you glad you came to church? And after this, the judgment. The reason why God tells us this is because it's true. Life is short, eternity is long, and the stakes are way too high to play games. And people really do die. And the scriptures teaches that people who die without Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 16 gives us a beautiful picture. It's not beautiful. It's a horrible picture, really, where Jesus says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Knowing what I know, knowing what you know about the gospel, if you were still lost, what would you want your family member, your friend, or the local church in your community to do to get you to the cross? Now, it's ultimately between you and God, but I can try to get you to the cross. Somebody say amen. So what would you want them to do knowing what you do? And then I'll just follow it up with this, and then we'll dive into some scripture. Okay. If I were still lost knowing what I know, I hope that my family member would not let me step into a Christless eternity. Knowing what I know, I hope that dude or dudette who calls me friend would not allow me to die without Christ. Knowing what I know, believing what I believe, I pray that my church in my community would focus on the main thing, and that's this. There is a way, and his name's Jesus. And they would do everything short of sin to make sure that I heard about Jesus. So last week we celebrated Easter. How many of you know that Jesus is alive? Put your hands together. Come on, church. Jesus is alive. So Jesus Christ is crucified. He's buried for 3 days. He rises again from the dead. And before his ascension, he spends 40 days here on planet Earth. And he had one main message why he was here on planet Earth. And they were specific marching orders. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. We're going to throw that verse up there. Do we have the verses on the screen? I don't know. We don't. Okay, good. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You're familiar with it. The Bible says this. But you will receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now the verse doesn't stop there. Here's why. See, the day you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? God took up permanent residence in your life. The Holy Spirit, God, came to live with inside of you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We are the church of the living God. Somebody say amen. But listen to what the scriptures say. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Here it is. Ready? Telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You want to know why God saved you? It wasn't simply just to save you. It was also to use you. As a gospel carrier. This is how you spell gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. Gospel. And you can't spell gospel without G-O, and that spells what? Go. I thought of that by myself, Scott. Come on, man. Am I good? I nailed that. Nailed it. And yeah. And here's God's plan. That when you gave your heart to Christ, God came to live with inside of you. So that you could go everywhere telling everyone about Jesus. That's God's plan for your life. If you're sitting here saying, man, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. I just gave it to you. I'm telling you, one of the primary reasons why God took a permanent residence in your life isn't simply to sign, seal, and deliver you to the day of redemption. I'm thankful that he does. Somebody say amen. But that's not only. God took a permanent residence in you because we've got a mission. And knowing what we know ought to encourage and motivate us to make sure those who don't know what we know, know. And so God, the living God of the universe, said, well, I'm not going to let you do that by yourself. I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell inside of you. So together in a divine partnership, we can go everywhere telling everyone that there is a name above every name where every tongue will confess and every knee must bow. It is the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. Are you with me? Come on, church. Amen. And so many of you understand that this in the Bible is called the Great Suggestion. Nope. It's the Great Commission. We've been commissioned by God to go out there and get this done. And by the way, you know when Jesus said this? I love this part of it. This is post-resurrection. Somebody say post-resurrection. You say, well, preacher, why does that matter? It matters a lot. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, let me read these scriptures to you. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority. Now, we all know because we're looking back on the story, but when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and the angel said, for he shall save his people from their sins. I mean, that's pretty big talk for a baby. We all have great aspirations for our kid, don't we? And then all of a sudden he shows up and John the Baptist is about to baptize him. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So you know your Bible. This is some pretty big talk. Even Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, man, they will live forever, even after dying. Now, we all know this to be true, but wait a minute. When Jesus said it, that's some pretty bold promises for a guy who hadn't died yet. Like you're the answer to eternity? You haven't even died. I'd imagine Jesus being perfect and God never even had a cold. And you're what? You're the answer to what? And so now Jesus has been crucified. He's in a tomb and they're thinking it's game over. They all scatter. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rises again from the dead. Somebody say amen. And then he shows up and says, ha ha! Now what? See, they thought I was dead. It's not game over. It's game on. He says, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Post-resurrection. He says, all that stuff that I said for those 3.5 years when we were running around doing ministry together, it's true. It's true. Russell, it's true. I am who I said I am, and I can do what I said I can do. Post-resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say it again, it proves to all of us that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. And he can do what he said he can do. Anybody can talk a big game who hasn't died, but now he was dead. But he rose again from the dead. And now, post-resurrection, he says, now that I have your attention. Your attention, please. He's like, now that I have your attention, know this, all authority. Oh, you thought I was just a good teacher. Oh, you thought I just could heal a few people. You thought I was like, you know, like the food truck. I go everywhere, give me some bread, and I feed everybody. You just thought, no, I'm way more than that. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, this is post-resurrection. So because all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, the next word is therefore. Somebody say therefore. Or because of, or because I am the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because I have proven to you that I am who I said I am and I can do what I said I can do, now that I have your attention, because of that, now therefore go. Somebody say go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Here's what Jesus said. Now that I have your attention, now that you truly understand that I have all authority, that I not just told you I was God, Romans tells us that I have proven you that I am God. Now that I have your attention, here's what I want you to do. I didn't save you to sit and stare. I saved you to go and share. I didn't save you to sit and stare. I saved you to go and share. And the responsibility of the church is to be a going church. A church that will go everywhere telling everyone about Jesus. Come on, church. Amen. Are you with me? Give me an amen. Oh, whoa. Maybe I need to count to three, preacher. On a count of three, remember, follow the directions. I want to hear a good, hearty amen. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Where to go? We're not to sit and stare. We're to go and share. One of the things that I shared with the men was this. I said, hey, man, we cannot allow Jesus Christ, the one who breathed new life. I'm so glad that the day I gave my heart to Christ, he gave me a clean heart and a brand new start. We sing a song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And it's mine. I didn't earn it. You thought you deserved it? You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It was gifted to you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his grace and his mercy, he saved us. It is the gift of God. To God be the glory, amen. And what I told the men was this, and I want to tell the whole church. We cannot, we must refuse, Sergio, to allow Jesus Christ to be the best kept secret in this community. We must refuse to allow Jesus Christ to be the best kept secret in this community. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Light it up, 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 up. He says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. He said, I didn't save you. We sing an old song. I don't know if you sing it here, but, you know, with our kids, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, hide it under a bushel. No. No, I'm going to let it shine. We must refuse to allow Jesus Christ to be the best kept secret in our life. I asked my church this on Good Friday, and I ask myself this all the time. This is me. I always ask myself, is the life that I'm living worthy of the death Jesus died? Is a life that I'm living worthy of the price Jesus paid to bring me into the family? Like if I walk into my place of work, say, hey, man, I want to invite you to church. Church? What's that? You go to church? There may be a problem. We have nothing to be embarrassed about, by the way. Can I just tell you something? The people that you run with, they want what you have. They want a peace that passes all understanding. They want a friend that will stick closer than a brother. They want to know what grace, mercy, and the kindness of God is. They want what you have. It's just religion has lied to them. But aren't you glad that we're not involved in a religion, but that we are involved in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Come on, put your hands together, church. I'm so thankful for that. To God be the glory. The good news of the gospel is this, that there's hope and help for everybody, that no matter what you've been through, what your situation or circumstance is, God's not mad at you, and that God's not wanting you. Listen, the word became flesh. God came here to meet us where we are. Oh, I love that. God meets you where you are, but he loves you too much to keep you there. He's like, hey, I love you, but we can't stay there. Remember that woman that was caught in adultery? They just dragged her in the front of Jesus. And it's like, okay, all you perfect people, cast the first stone. Hey, let me ask you a question. Remember those people you looked at to your right and to your left? How many of you would just say, yeah, I know those people, and they have issues. Raise your hand. Come on, let's judge somebody in church. Judge somebody. Come on, right? That person has issues. All right. How many of you would say, no, I'm not going to judge them. I have issues. How many of you say, I have issues? Okay, a few more of you. Yeah. It's a lot more fun judging the person next to you, just so you know. And Jesus is like all the perfect people. Oh, by the way, can I just say this? If you're looking for a perfect church, they don't exist. Yeah, they don't exist. But if Faith Family Fellowship, she may not be a perfect church, but she's perfect for me. And that's the difference. And here's the thing. Jesus is like, well, all you perfect people cast the first stone. And we know the story. And we assume correctly that Jesus got down on his knee. Am I loud up here, preacher? Okay. I didn't know. It looks very clean up here. And then Jesus started writing down, and he's like, oh, Mr. D. Yeah, and he just started writing Mr. D's sin. Then he looked over here and he said, oh, Sergio. And he's like, Russell. And he's like, D, Junior, there's not enough sand here to write out your sins. And so at the end of the day, everybody drops their stones and they leave. And then Jesus looks down at her and says, well, where are your accusers? Well, they're not here. And he says, well, neither do I accuse you. Forgiveness. Now go and sin no more. First, it's grace, followed by truth. We all have issues. But you know what this church exists for? To let imperfect people know that there is a perfect and holy God who is waiting for them to come home. Come home. So I ask you today, church, knowing what you know, if you were still lost, maybe you don't know Christ today. We'll talk about that in a second. But if you were still lost, what would you want your family member, your friend, or the church in your neighborhood to do to get you to Christ? And as Jesus has been to you, will you be to them? And if you're sitting here today and you say, well, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm in a relationship with God. Now, stay with me. There are people that come to my church all the time, and they're not mad at God. They know the story of Jesus and know what he did. They just never knew they had a responsibility to respond to what he did. See, you can know all the Bible facts. You know the story of Jesus Christ. You could have grown up in a religious class or some kind of denomination and learned about him, but you don't. That doesn't mean you know him. The Bible says, this is the gospel, Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many know you're sitting next to a sinner? Raise your hand. You're sitting next to a sinner. Amen, amen. There you go. That's better. I like it when we judge each other. Then the Bible goes on to say, not only for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says, somebody say the Bible. It doesn't matter what I say. The Bible. So I don't know if I believe the Bible. Well, I don't. Have you ever read it? I have. Let's assume that it's the true word of God. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death, damnation. See, a holy God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Hey, whoa. Matthew chapter 25 says God didn't create hell for people. He created it for the devil and his angels. But a holy God cannot accept unholy, sinful people into his house. So you know what holy God did? Because he didn't want anybody to die. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what, God did? He gave his one and only son. He says, hey, man, they screwed up and they messed up and they need it. We got to fix that. And they can't do it on their own. And so here's the plan. And Jesus said, well, I'll carry it out, Father. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll make it happen. And so at the end of the day, our amazing God stepped into our mess. Not because he had to. And this is the beauty of it. Because he chose to. What? Try to figure that out. Why would he do that? Because he can't bear the thought of spending eternity without you. Because God desires a family. Why? I don't know. Because he's God and he decided he wanted to have a family and he wants you in it. And so the Bible says that God brings us to moments like this in our life. Underneath the preaching of God's word. As the Holy Spirit, God is just pricking our heart. And the Lord Jesus stands at our door and he knocks. And I can do one of two things. I can say, go away. Go away, Lord. Or I can open up my heart and say, come in. But know this. For whosoever, somebody say whosoever, shall call upon. You know what whosoever means? It means you. You're included. You're not excluded. But you don't know what I did. Huh? Who cares? I know what he did. And he knew what you did before you did it. And he still came and said, I can cover that. I can take care of that. Paid in full. And so today, maybe today will be your day to cross the line of faith. Maybe today will be the day where you say yes to Jesus. And you say, I don't have it all figured out. You don't have to have it all figured out. I don't even know if I need to. I love God. I didn't love God when I, listen, some of you think, well, I was deeply in love with God when I got saved. No, you weren't. You were broken because you realized you were a sinner. Then you started this thing called the Christian journey, and you learned to fall in love with Jesus. What you need to know today is that your sin separates you from God. But Jesus, our sin bearer, came to make all things new. Hey, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.